Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast, the podcast that's dedicated to providing valuable insights, practical tips, and proven strategies to equip new teachers for success. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, educator, published author, and instructional coach. Join me in each episode as we offer a supportive platform for navigating the challenges of the teaching profession. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing effective instructional practices for multilingual learners with our guest, Catherine Hamilton. But before we get to today's topic, I'd like to take a moment to share a little bit about today's special guest. Catherine ensures that projects are executed well by planning meetings, establishing relationships with partners, and developing instructional content. She holds a master's degree in education from Stanford University. Previously, Catherine served charter management organizations, managing teacher development, curriculum, and English learner programs. Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles. And today we're going to be discussing effective instructional practices for multilingual learners with our guest, Catherine Hamilton. Now, she currently serves as Vice President of Programs at Ensemble Learning. Welcome to the show, Catherine.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. This is really going to be thrilling. We could probably spend a lot of time talking about what we're going to be talking about. But first of all, would you like to just share with our audience, you know, what got you into this field, you know, your journey into multilingual education?
Growing up, I really loved learning math. I always saw it as patterns, connections. I loved seeing how different math concepts connected with one another. And it wasn't really until college, taking a pretty high-level math course, that I learned and realized what it felt like to have that feeling of like math isn't for me, like my brain maybe isn't working this way. And, you know, in having that moment, I also simultaneously had this great opportunity to take a graduate level seminar in math instruction. And it was me and two grad students. And we just talked about teaching math in a conceptual way, designed learning experiences. And it really hooked me into teaching math, wanting to really open up math instruction, math learning for all students, allowing them to see themselves in the content. And my amazing professor that I had in undergrad connected me to the Stanford Graduate School of Education, their math teacher preparation program. And I got into that student teaching, working, learning all of my content, pedagogy, and I had a really pivotal moment in my student teaching experience where I was actually told by another teacher at the school that I shouldn't focus too much on helping my English learner students because, quote unquote, their families didn't care about education and they didn't care about education. And it obviously was like shocking in that moment. And that I'm talking about it so many years later, that really kind of has brought together my educational journey. So I started teaching high school math. I worked in San Fernando. It's in the northeast part of Los Angeles, mainly Latinx community. And I really realized that my job was not just to help students see themselves in math and to help them master the math content, but also that academic language so that they could be communicators in the content. And through that work, I loved collaborating with peers, and I realized I actually really loved working with adults and helping adults find success in teaching. I loved planning professional learning, PLCs, observing classroom walkthroughs, which really brought me into more of that coaching and instructional leadership role. About 5 years ago, I had the opportunity to switch out of the public school environment over to Ensemble Learning. We're a nonprofit organization, and I get to do what I love all the time. I get to work with teachers and leaders of school networks, districts, principals, and help them think about how do we support the adults with culture, mindset, and instructional practices that are going to help the multilingual learners and really all the students at their school thrive. So feel very lucky to be in this place now, and just excited to talk to you today about the practices that, you know, your listeners can use right away in their classroom.
Okay, that is totally awesome, Catherine. Thank you for sharing that. Before I get started, I would like to at least initially ask you, could you explain the difference between, you know, multilingual learning versus, you know, English learning or ELL?
Yeah, it's challenging in the U.S. We have so many different terms, mm-hmm. and there are different nuances to them. At Ensemble Learning, we use the term multilingual learner because we feel like it's very asset-based and encompassing of the many different students that will fall kind of under this umbrella. And so in Texas, their term is emergent bilingual student. In California, the term is English learner. And the challenge with saying bilingual or English learner is that for a lot of our students, learning academic English might actually be their third language. So mm-hmm. bilingual doesn't even cut it. And the idea of being a multilingual learner also encompasses that, you know, we're tapping into and honoring and pouring into this part of their identity that is multilingual. Mm-hmm. And seeing the assets that they bring versus just saying a student is an English learner can be a little bit more of a deficit model. So it's a label that we use that we feel like is much more positive, but it's going to be synonymous. If you're thinking at your school, oh, we use EL mm-hmm. or ELL, English learner, English language learner. You know, we're talking about this group of students who are still working on their academic English proficiency, haven't quite reached that yet, and we're supporting
okay.
them.
Okay. All right. Thank you for getting us straight on that there. I have to ask you, how can educators incorporate the cultural backgrounds and experiences of multilingual learners into the curriculum to enhance engagement?
Yeah, I think the first thing I always think about curriculum can serve as a window and can serve as a mirror. And so when it's a window, it's that way for us to see into things that we don't have experience with, whether that's content or see perspectives or the experiences through literature, history of other folks. But we also want to make sure that it is a mirror where students see themselves in the curriculum and start to really build that mindset of like, school is for me. School is a place for me. And so, you know, one of the initial things we can do is look at your curriculum in a simple, you know, in a math classroom, when we have word problems, what are the names being used? Are they the names that are in your community? So students feel like, oh, I'm doing math about me, not math that's for someone else. So that's a really simple thing. But even just the cultural references, if we're talking about a grocery store, using the names of the grocery stores that your students are familiar with.
Okay.
The big thing I always have people think about is the amount of like code switching that students may have to do, whether it's around culture or it's around language, and just how we can help them use less mental energy to code switch into the classroom. And so we'll talk a little bit more through some of the other questions, but really thinking about academic English is kind of a foreign or new language for many students in our classroom. And so if we can unite together and say, whether you speak English at home or Spanish at home or Vietnamese at home, in this classroom, we're all practicing our academic English, and really uniting students in that way to help them feel okay to be vulnerable mm-hmm. and that they're important in that community.
Yeah, great, great point there. Now, with respect to language development and content mastery, what strategies can be employed, Catherine, to simultaneously support language development and content mastery for both, or well, for, you know, multilingual learners?
Yeah, I think to the point kind of I just shared that with our multilingual learners, we really have to be mindful of the academic English in our content that will enable them to have access to the content and the lesson and, you know, the learning activities that you're doing in the classroom. But really also when we think about that language development, even beyond our multilingual learners, again, all students needing to develop that academic English. Mm-hmm. And so thinking about what's the language that's necessary for them to, produce, to engage in the lesson, and then to show their learning. So we often recommend to teachers to have that mindset to think about, what is your standard? What's your content for your lesson for the day? And actually, if you can unpack and say, what's my content objective? Yeah. And then what's my language objective? What are the language demands? And then really thinking about, by having both of those in mind, then we can design that instruction in the classroom and provide the supports and scaffolds. I will say the lowest hanging fruit that I say to teachers that we work on a lot is the opportunity for students to engage in structured academic talk. Giving students, shifting the ratio of teacher talk to student talk, giving them that opportunity. And we say, if you can give them a clear content parameter, what are you talking about? Some type of language support. Here's a sentence starter. Here's the vocabulary I want you to do. Something that really gets them started. And then some type of universal accountability, something to really make sure all your kids are participating. Then you can really shift the language production over to your students in a really highly scaffolded way. And that's often, I'll connect to your audience probably knows like a turn and talk or a think, pair, share. Just making those robust with those language supports is a great strategy.
Okay, outstanding. Are you a teacher who finds yourself drowning in the challenges of classroom management? Do student behaviors leave you feeling overwhelmed and drained at the end of each day? Picture this, a classroom where your students are not just present, but fully engaged, focused, and eager to learn. Say goodbye to classroom management stress and hello to success. The Teacher Rockstar Academy course is meticulously designed to equip you with the tools and strategies needed to skyrocket your effectiveness as a teacher. Curious to know if the Teacher Rockstar Academy course is the missing piece in your teaching journey? If you're ready to reclaim control of your classroom and witness the incredible impact on your students, then use the link in the podcast description to learn more about this program. Now, when it comes to assessment and feedback, in what ways can formative and summative assessments be adapted to accurately reflect the knowledge and skills of multilingual learners?
Yeah, I think it also connects thinking about what's the content that you expect students to master and what's the language. Mm-hmm. And when you are assessing students, as much as you can, unpacking that and decoupling it. So I'll think about my geometry class as a teacher. I would have students do a pretty lengthy response of like how they could solve for surface area using different methods and kind of compare and contrast those different methods. And it was really important though for me prior to getting to that lengthier response, actually having some kind of scaffolded, can they solve the content using this method? Can they solve, the content of surface area using this method? Can they explain the English, academic English in this way? And so that kind of broke it down. So if I'm looking at an extended response from a student that's not hitting the mark, I can really unpack and go back and say, what's that tier two support that they need? Is it actually they didn't understand the surface area piece? Or, actually, it's really the language piece. They got the math and let me help bridge to the language.
Okay, yeah.
If you're really wanting to assess that content, you can invite your students to respond in whatever language they're most comfortable with. And then you can really say, this student has a more beginning mastery of academic English, but they know the content because in their Spanish reply, they wrote the content correctly. And now my role is to help bridge that.
Okay.
So not being afraid of that home language.
Yeah,
and students.
Absolutely.
Using it.
Absolutely. Now, regarding, collaborative learning environments, how can educators create and sustain collaborative learning environments that encourage peer support and interaction among, multilingual learners,
think about a collaborative environment in the classroom, we really encourage teachers to think about serving as a warm demander. So we use a lot of Zaretta Hammond's research there and really asking, you know, how can you create an inclusive asset-based environment where you yourself and then you encourage your students to think of the differences that students bring as an asset, not that this student can't speak English yet, but instead, oh, wow, this student speaks these other languages and is learning English in the same way I'm learning something different. And so this environment of learners, this environment also of a collaborative community where we're accountable to one another. And a lot of that comes in, you know, how do you have students interact in the classroom? If you are doing these structured student talk routines and you're giving students support and space to share perspectives and talk with one another, you are really putting your money where your mouth is, that these different perspectives are helpful. And then it's also just really important to model that vulnerability. And so even if you don't consider yourself bilingual, which I don't, I know some Spanish, I studied it, but having moments where you say, oh, we're going to try this in Spanish. And you're modeling, you know, it's okay to try languages and try speaking and use that support. And then address any breaches kind of in that agreement. If you ever hear students, you know, laughing or snickering, if, you know, something is said incorrectly, just coming back to this idea of we're all learning together. We're all in this moment of learning. And it's really just important to create that culture.
Absolutely. In terms of, let me kind of switch gears here and talk about professional development and teacher training. And what are the most critical areas of professional development for educators working with, you know, multilingual learners?
I think it can be really daunting. It can feel really daunting. And so to speak to the teachers listening, don't feel guilty or bad if you think, wow, I haven't been thinking as much as I'd like to about my multilingual learners. Because as you're starting out, there are so many things to think about. And I really encourage teachers to focus on high quality, just tier one, like high quality instruction, because so many of the things that we can do there are specifically supporting our English learners, our multilingual learners. And it's things like having anchor charts up in the classroom that are ways for students, all of your students, but especially your multilingual learners, to refer back to content, to see modeled academic language. It's these opportunities for students to speak with language support. So really thinking about, you know, what are the structures for students to agree and disagree? And can I have an anchor chart up that provides those sentence frames? And so when we think about professional development, much of the work, you know, we at Ensemble will work with a school for sometimes 2-3 years. And we really find that initially the work is, let's just strengthen that tier one instruction to a strong level. And then we can talk about further differentiation for our multilingual learners.
Okay. Now, Catherine, I have to ask you, now, what advice would you give that new teacher just fresh out of college, first day, you know, in the classroom? What would you tell him or her? Like you say, it's very daunting, isn't it?
It is. One is thank you. We need great people who want to be in classrooms. Two would be, nothing is going to be as important as building strong relationships with your students and establishing that classroom culture of the warm demander. Showing each of your students that you care about them as individuals and that they can show up fully as themselves to the classroom. So taking those moments to appreciate, you know, honor, celebrate them, but also at the same time, really figuring out how can you set up those structures and the boundaries so that you can create that classroom of learning. You know, there's the oft said phrase, like, don't smile till November.
Yeah.
I actually will tell you, my students in all my feedback surveys, getting feedback from my students, the number one thing they said is like, you're always smiling, you're always supporting us. And with your physical presence, you can do that. I also made them do a lot of math. Absolutely. I wasn't letting them go. We did a lot of math, but I think it's kind of that first things first, setting that tone with like, you are welcome here. You are loved here. You are honored here. You're respected, but we're also going to learn. And so how can you also teach them what it looks like to learn in your classroom? And, you know, speaking specifically to our kind of pre-K elementary teachers, you know this, you know, you got to teach kids how to sit in their desks or how to line up. But, you know, to my later elementary, middle, high school teachers, sometimes you got to teach kids that too. Hey, here's how we come into the classroom and get ready to learn. Hey, here's how, you know, when I say we're going to do this activity, let's practice it and let's do it together. And learning those routines of learning and teaching students and reinforcing, so then you can really focus on the content, is gonna pay major dividends later. So,
absolutely. You know, I was really struck by a stat that I was reading about. It says multilingual learners now make up more than 10% of the U.S. student population. Isn't it? That's astounding, is it not? And actually, more than 75% of multilingual learners speak Spanish. In many schools throughout, you know, the United States, there's more than, some districts have more than 100 languages are being spoken. I mean, that's just mind-boggling, is it not? And having said that, the implications for educators in the future, what would you say in terms of, you know, the effects in the classroom?
The numbers speak for themselves, and it's only getting more and more. And so one of our big audacious goals at Ensemble is like, how do we help create a truly multilingual nation? And I think for educators, it's not just focusing and encouraging on the academic English development, but really honoring the multilingualism of students. And we see this now, all 50 of our states have the ability for students to earn a seal of biliteracy. So it really put a stamp on their diploma of like, you are bilingual. You have mastered academic English, that English proficiency, but really encouraging students to also, you know, keep up with their native and home language. We have a huge teacher shortage for bilingual teachers and in bilingual programs. So I'd say the biggest thing is that mindset shift of like, bilingualism is a superpower. Let's like honor it. Let's support it. And for my fellow folks like me, who I don't consider myself fluent bilingual, like, that is okay. You have many gifts you are bringing as well, but you can still encourage and support your students in those language rich classrooms.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Thank you so much. And Catherine, I want to thank you for coming on the show here today. I look forward to having you on again. I mean, this is a topic certainly that we could probably talk a long, long time on, and there's so much to it, you know, but I really appreciate you coming on. And I do have to ask you a couple things here before I almost forgot this. But what is your biggest takeaway? If you could just say one thing, what would it be?
Get kids talking in your classroom. Get kids talking. Let them learn and share and have their voices heard.
All right. And could you tell me, how can folks get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm Catherine Hamilton. I live and work out of the Los Angeles area. But we'd love for you to visit us at ensemblelearning.org. We love to work with schools, teachers, individuals, and we offer like complimentary office hours support. So if you just want to connect and say, hey, I want to dig in a little bit more, what can I do at my school? What can I do in my classroom? Visit us on that website at ensemblelearning.org and sign up for that free kind of office hours. Personally, I'm at khamilton at ensemblelearning.org. I would give people like my address and phone number because I just love connecting, but we really do, you know, want to create this community of, you know, educators who are really, really passionate about supporting multilingual goal learners. So hope to connect with many teachers and provide that support that people are always looking for.
Okay, Catherine, again, thank you. Thank you so very much. And look, you have an awesome day and we'll talk soon.
Wonderful. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome. Well, my friend, we have come to the end of today's episode. But before we go, let me ask you a question. Are you ready to reclaim control of your classroom and witness the incredible impact on your students? Then learn more about how the Teacher Rockstar Academy can be of help. Simply go to teacherclassroomresources.com/TRA. I'll put the link in the description so that you can learn more about this program. I want to thank you for listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles. We'll see you same time, same place next week. And remember, my friend, you got this.
You've been listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast with your host, Steve Hiles. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast as much as we have. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and join our ever-growing community of Teacher Rockstars. Until then, thanks for listening.